I'm Jeb Sharp, and you're tuned to The World. A ceasefire agreement has been reached in Syria. We've heard those words before, even recently, during almost 6 years of war in Syria. And the ceasefires, when they materialize, never last very long. But this ceasefire could be different. This time, the agreement is backed by two countries with a lot at stake in Syria, Russia and Turkey. In a few minutes, we'll hear about the ceasefire deal in greater detail, but we begin with voices from within Syria itself. First up, a Damascus resident who prefers not to use her name on the radio. She works in the Syrian capital for an international non-governmental organization. She's skeptical about the prospects for a ceasefire, and her bigger concern is the water shortage Damascus residents have experienced in recent days.
We woke up in the morning, my mom was trying to make coffee, and she was telling me the water smells funny. I said, no, maybe because, maybe something, in the building or something. But then we read the news, and the Syrian authorities issued a statement. We even received some kind of a warning from the United Nations Department of Safety and Security, indicating that, yes, the water was poisoned using the diesel and other toxic liquids.
And you say it was the rebels.
Yes, they have stated that on their Facebook accounts and Twitter accounts. They have posted so many posts and tweets. One of them, his name is Abu Talib Barada. Even the video that he has posted showing the rebels booby trapping the water tunnels, saying that these water tunnels are going to Damascus. We are going to blow them up if they insist to evacuate us out of these villages, or if they insist to have the reconciliation agreement. They even used a lot of bad words to describe the people of Damascus, saying that they are infidels, kafirs, etc. They deserve to be killed. We have already polluted the water. We are booby trapping the tunnels, and we are going to blow them up no matter what.
And you yourself, personally, you think the Syrian government and army are trustworthy?
What other option do I have? At least the Syrian army and the Syrian government, they are having a head. They are having, institutions. Some people are trying to represent Syria as a failure state. I don't know how to say that in English.
But even if exactly, the government does have institutions and a head and a way of governing, it is well documented that it has murdered and tortured tens of thousands of your fellow citizens. And I just wonder, even if you support the government, deal with that.
Yeah, these are just accusations so far.
I think they're pretty well documented by now.
If they are really documented, the UN would have used them. If they are real, there would have been a real action.
We don't often hear voices like yours in the Western media, supporters of the Syrian government. Why are so few people with your perspective willing to speak out?
Unfortunately, some people boycott media similar to Al Jazeera or BBC or CNN. They will show that they disagree with their point of view. But to be honest, it's my personal opinion. If we don't go and talk, the media will not report our thoughts. And rather than accusing BBC, CNN, etc. of being biased, and not giving them a chance. That's why I decided to talk.
Well, thank you for talking to us. How has your attitude toward the opposition changed over the course of the war?
I was somebody who is not supporting the government. I was not happy with what they are doing, the corruption, etc. I was not approving that. I'm still not approving all of these things. But now my country is in a state of war. And okay, now I am supporting the Syrian army in the fight against terrorism, bringing back safety and security. And there are so many Muslim fundamentalists, Islamist fundamentalists. They don't believe in diversity. They don't believe in hearing other opinions. If you don't agree with them, they will kill you. It's not because I'm Shia or Alawite. I'm just like them. I am a Sunni Muslim, but they will kill me if I say something that is against their views.
How do you see the way forward? Can you imagine someone like you speaking with the rebels and having the rebels respect your point of view?
We are brothers at the end of the day, and this is our country. We all care for our country. We don't want our country to be destroyed. And there are so many people like me who are sitting and talking to the rebels. And even in the opposition, there are so many people. Yes, they support the opposition, but still, they don't want the war to continue, and we want a solution. Ongoing war will not help anybody. We need to stop. At the end of the day, they are Syrians, and there is no other solution other than shaking hands.
We've been speaking with a Damascus resident who preferred not to use her name. She works in the Syrian capital for an international non-governmental organization. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're most welcome.
For a very different perspective on the way forward in Syria, we reached out to Abdul Kafi Alhamdo. He's an English teacher who was evacuated from Aleppo in mid-December with his wife and infant daughter. When we last talked to him, explosions were rocking his neighborhood. Now he's in the countryside southwest of the city. Earlier today, I asked him what he thought about the ceasefire.
I hoped that I could hear such a ceasefire when I was in Aleppo. Okay, I'm glad about this, but it's a little bit painful. I hope that it goes on for a long time. We have experienced a lot and a lot of ceasefires during 5 years. You know, most of the time, the Assad regime break the ceasefire, fixing their warplanes, fixing their vehicles again, and they might break the ceasefire again and again.
You are now in an area in western Syria that is rebel-controlled. Do you know what the fighters there think of the announcement of the ceasefire?
All the fighters here are listening to this ceasefire. Most of them are satisfied. If it included all the rebel-held areas, and if it included all rebel groups, we want peace for people.
Do you know people who stayed behind in Aleppo, and are you in touch with them?
I have a friend who is so close friend for me. He went to the regime area. He was injured. So he had, and he has got two children, and he's waiting the third. He has got three brothers and his father. When they went to the regime areas to have peace, they were arrested.
What is happening in your old neighborhood? When I last interviewed you, you were in your apartment, you know, when the bombing was going on.
What I hear about my neighborhood is unbelievable. Now my neighborhood and some people who went there and they described me what's happening in my neighborhood, that it's like a market. The Assad soldiers and officers, they go to a building and they sell it as a whole. And the merchant come with workers to take everything. Even the taps were taken out.
When you say taps, you mean faucets, like at the sink?
Yes, water taps. They were taken out. Just imagine that the electricity cables were taken out and sold. By the way, some people went and see their houses being stolen, and they asked those soldiers that this is our house. They said literally that we free this neighborhood, so everything, every piece in this neighborhood is ours.
Wow. What do you imagine the next few weeks will bring for you and your wife and your daughter?
I can really say that the last 5 or 6 months, I couldn't think of my daughter a lot. I couldn't think of my wife a lot. All what I think of them is worry, fear. I was so scared about them. Now I could show more love, more life, more future, more ambition, you know. This is what I'm going to think of the next weeks and the next months.
Abdul Kafi Alhamdo, thank you for speaking with us once again from Syria.
You're welcome.